Good morning. Today is Monday, November the 20th. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, John Dalby. Good morning, sir.
And it is delightful to be with you, the incredible shrinking man. You're the incredible shrinking
man. Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah.
So the lobotomy is showing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not quite the man he used to be.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah. Our quote this morning. You want it? You read it. It's your phone. You read it.
Gee whiz. Okay, so our quote today is from Helen Keller. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart.
That would be apropos in so many ways.
Good old Helen.
Oh. Quick question before we get into the topic du jour. With the stock market value increasing as dramatically as it has, what does that mean to regular guy, regular business, Main Street? You know, what? I mean, it sounds positive. It sounds better than going the other direction. But what does it mean? How does that translate?
The biggest piece that probably impacts the average Joe when it comes to the stock market increases is that when your portfolio and your retirement grows, you tend to have more confidence in the future. So consumer confidence often translates into making that larger or more substantial purchase that you might not otherwise make. So you see
so it's attitudinal. Spending,
yeah, spending going up with that kind of confidence. For most of us, you know, unless you're living off of your stock portfolio, isn't going to change your daily, the daily habits of business.
In other words,
in the North Coast,
if it really impacts you.
Yeah,
yeah, I got that one. What about retail? Now who was it? Now I got to remember. Was it? Wasn't the floor guy Liquidators?
It's not Lumber Liquidators.
Yeah,
Liquidators.
I love what they're doing this week.
I haven't seen the ads.
It's yellow and black Friday. Because that's their colors.
Oh.
DeWalt could have done it for decades also, right? And you got Cyber Monday, and you got, now it's black. It's not Black Friday. It's the week of, et cetera.
Right.
There's dynamics at work here that are interesting. You know, as we hear what's going on, what kind of sense do you have about, just from an informed consumer perspective, what's going on here?
So let's go back and ask you a question, and that is, why do they call it Black Friday?
Oh, come on. Historically, that's when business starts to make a profit from that point to the end of the year.
The big department stores.
Instead of red, it turns black.
Right. Okay, very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, for a radio guy, it doesn't have a microphone on it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
So your question was, what happens here? For the most part,
there's a change that's going on this year. I know in the past years there've been a lot of comments about breaking Christmas sales early. Okay, a number of retailers this past weekend. It was like kind of like the Christmas open house week now is when you break. But on a national level, it's a little bit different dynamic. So, what are you reading here in the tea leaves?
Well, I haven't really spoken to many of the retailers lately, so I don't have a real strong sense of what's happening this year. But what I see is in consumerism is that I think people are spending less and less on Christmas gifts than maybe they did in the past. And focusing more on maybe quality and so forth.
Less items, course, better quality?
I think so.
Okay.
For the little kids, you want a lot of stuff.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter what it is. But
Lego's Lego, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you priced those lately, but
no,
not cheap.
I was going to go Tinker Toy, but that kind of dates me also.
Yeah. Lincoln Logs.
Lincoln Logs. Saw, we were in Roseburg. Okay, we're just taking a hard left turn on this one.
Right. Squirrel.
We're in Roseburg a couple weeks ago, and they've got a logging museum. And they had, next to the Calistoga wagon, or one of those that came, there was a full-blown Lincoln log set. all done up and, you know, to represent what was. But it wasn't the current one. There was no plastic on this baby. There was the, you know, the green wood and the, yeah, it was just kind of a nice flashback.
I do miss those. That was, you know, those. Remember the Erector sets?
Oh yeah, I had those
with
too.
With the little screws.
Couldn't figure those suckers out for the life of me.
Oh, I would sit there and play with mine forever.
Well, that, you know, I had a little bit more analytical. I would yell at it to do something. Yeah. It didn't
mine
work.
Had a motor. I remember I was upscale because I had a little electric motor on it.
Right?
Mine.
Yeah, a little 5-inch charge. Yeah, I think I must have had it going one time, but Lego was where I ended up.
Your Lego
vamping.
Man. Huh?
Yes. Yeah. So there seems to be a change, though, and I saw something that indicated that digital was going to be the platform that more and more were going to, but it wasn't spending more necessarily. It was more the experiential, more the typical or traditional millennial profile was going to be going the digital, but that a lot of the boomers and X's and Y's were getting back into the tangible, the retailing side of the touch and feel. Does that kind of make sense with what you're seeing?
Well, I think it depends on the product you're buying. You know, if somebody wants something, you know, it's an electronic device or something that's mass manufactured, it's much easier to do so digitally, you know, and just push a few buttons on your phone now and it shows up in some places within 2 hours, you know, if you live near a fulfillment center. But, you know, if you're going to buy clothing or scarves or, you know, those things, a lot of times you really want to touch them and make sure they are what they are. And so I think it really depends on the product.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. John, the retail, I think, is no surprise that it's undergoing another cataclysmic, I think, for some people. Shift. When you got e-commerce people going brick and mortar, while brick and mortar guys are still trying to go e-commerce, you got Walmart still the number one, but now concerned about Amazon, and Amazon looking like it's going to just, well, I think I've had seen a couple things where there's discussions about antitrust getting involved.
Yeah, well, I just
it's
saw
a whole different dynamic.
I just saw a statistic. Amazon is now number one.
Oh, they've surpassed?
Yes, they've surpassed.
Okay.
In fact, they surpassed Walmart, Sears, Penny's, what are some of the other ones? Macy's combined.
That's not passing. That's blowing them out of the water. I mean, things have changed, and the consumer has changed also. When you are working with and talking to businesses, do you focus on where they are or where they're going? What they see in 2 years? How are you going to get there? How's your experience going to change?
Yes. And then the reason we look back as much as where they're headed is you need to know whether or not a person, an organization, a company, a corporation, whatever it is, has achieved its goals in the past. And if that's the case and they set goals for the future, that there's a better chance that they would be achieving them. And at the same time, you got to look at what they are and is it practical. Now, the one piece on retail we haven't touched on is that in the conversations I've had, there are there is evidence that our illegal agriculturalists are not getting the prices they used to and are spending less.
I heard Friday that it's down to $500 a pound. Okay. That's an 80% contraction. That's a significant, and whether we're talking to the law enforcement guys or just
right.
That people aren't being paid. Oh, big deal. Okay. But I mean, it certainly is an impact.
That's right.
And things are happening. Now, I don't know if they're not paying their debts at the store or this is just under the counter payments for payroll that isn't happening. And throw in the mix also that those fines are going out now. Those letters went out. Now it's going to be a whole different story when reality sets for a lot of these guys. Now, it certainly is going to impact us overall, but to what extent, I guess, is the wild card, huh?
Well, and that's the question. How much of our economy is based on that agricultural activity? You know, estimates are from 25 to 50% of our economy is based on that. And so you could see a relatively light Christmas this year in comparison to past years.
Well, I know you're not the ace because she was on last month.
Right.
But with the marijuana, it's been intriguing for me because I know in past conversations we've had, because I listened to some of it.
Really? You're the only one.
Yeah. The 7-time pass-through.
Yes.
Okay. I've always contended that with the marijuana guys, it might be a 1-time, maybe a 2-time. Because if most of the proceeds are out of the area, interests and concerns, okay, they're not going to be spending here. They're spending wherever they're coming from. Okay. So while the retail value may be high, the economic impact, I think, is less.
I think you are correct that 7 times, which has been the industry standard from, 20, 30 years, that a dollar, a payroll dollar, spins in the economy 7 times before it exits. A number of things have changed that. One being, the whole digital thing with as many dollars going out.
There's a big siphon there, too.
Yeah, immediately going out and not coming back. And not being recycled. So, I think the 7 times number is probably substantially smaller than it used to be for a number of reasons. And I think you're correct that in the marijuana industry that a large number of the growers are, cartels and various groups from other countries. That money is just flowing out of here.
Could be somebody from the Bay Area who bought some property.
Other than buying the supplies they need for their operation, there isn't going to be a lot of that consumer spending here because this is not where they live. This is not where they spend their money.
Probably with the notable exception of trucks.
There's lots of diesel trucks.
New model.
And whoever...
Say new model, baby.
There you go. And the number of chips they sell to make them spew black smoke.
Yeah, isn't that nauseating too? Yeah. So, obviously, there will be an impact. There'll be an impact when it's legal too. To what extent? Who knows? Even if it's just sales tax, is that enough to offset what some of the discussion?
We've been speculating on those things now for over 10 years.
Well, good. We'll find out what their crystal ball looks like, and in 2 months, we'll start to get an indication of accuracy here. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We will be back with Mr. Dalby.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. John, before the break, we were talking about the changing landscape in our area with the marijuana, certainly. We could throw infrastructure in there. I guess the STAA is now clear on 299.
Yay.
Still got to work on Richardson's Grove.
Mm-hmm. Boo.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, I've got ideas there.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
And we still have the issue with last chance grade.
Yeah, that's not. It's nice to say it's not going anywhere fast.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's an accurate thing to say. As that's continuing to go through that slow process. But it's different. I think next year is going to be different. I think the next 4 or 5 years will be different before we hit some kind of a sense of stability. And whether it's marijuana or relocation, I'm still fully expecting. I had positive from the folks at the county that come through about going after making contact with some of the businesses in Sonoma and Mendocino County that don't have a physical location, either temporary or mm-hmm. permanent, to relocate here, which triggers housing and the issues we have about housing. I am convinced that we couldn't handle success. The things that lead up to success. Housing, okay. The wireless connectivity or not. The vulnerabilities is exposed, you know, with the fire. Okay. Do we have a workforce? You know, I think CR is busting their chops. I'm not sure about some of the other options. Yeah. We talk a talk, but I'm not sure if we really are able to back it up at this point. Do you have that same sense, or am I just kind of being a little walking around with my little black cloud over my head?
Well, I've actually been more cynical.
Okay.
When people have asked me what we need to do, you know, to create more jobs in the community, you know, my pat answer is, well, we don't want them, to which I get this big question mark. And if you really look at the way we vote and the things that we, you know, as a society, we choose, you know, creating, you know, jobs and opportunity here is not the top priority.
No, it's more of an isolationist kind of an attitude.
Well, and it's not that I totally disagree. I understand both sides of this equation. You know, the one side says, gee, we live in a beautiful area. Let's keep it that way. You know, let's not bring more people here. On the other side, you have, gee, I'd sure like my kids to have an opportunity to live here. So with that said, the things you brought up were some of the infrastructure challenges we have. Isolation by transportation, isolation by information flow, although those...
It's better.
Yeah. Those, areas, you know, we never went down, but we had redundancies so that we had a backup in case, you know, AT&T went down, that we're, you know, we have alternatives. So... there are ways around that. And
you can give
better.
Him a plug if you want. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay, I will. Thanks, Seth. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Move on.
Okay. So we have, you know, the one challenge that you mentioned that's huge is housing, but not only housing, but also, you know, locations for businesses. We have very limited buildable space here. Because of the mountainous geographic region, you know, everything, you know, that's on the
flatlands. We're not in Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, where I was discussing kind of the differences between here and like Redding. Now, Redding has all this flat land around it, and you could build subdivisions forever, and they've done that to the point where they have too many sometimes, and then they can't sell them. Well, we don't have that problem. If you built a subdivision here, it's only going to be, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 units, and most likely, unless there's something really wrong with them, they're going to sell very, very quickly just because of the demand for housing.
Well, that was before the fires.
Yeah.
We're not going to be building anything really quickly here anymore for the next little bit because of the raw material costs.
Exactly.
And all the guys that know what they're doing.
There's going to be a lot of challenges because of the fires.
Yeah.
And there was a shortage of tradesmen before the fires.
And that's the ironic thing. You know, it's like with teachers, though, too. You know, everybody's scrambling for teachers. Well, you go, really? Okay. Because of, you know, some of the trending that had happened in the past few years. So if you had a big think tank, take your pick, it doesn't matter, wanting to relocate somewhere rural, high quality of life, blah, 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 blah. Could we even be a player? Well, without housing,
no.
It doesn't matter what we got.
No.
And
housing is the issue, and it's problem for doctors who have income. But if you're a tradesman, you know, police,
regular guy.
Fire, yeah. you know, working, you know, a living wage job here, you may not be able to even buy a house. Housing is the cost of our housing is very, very high. Now, unfortunately, in Santa Rosa, we're talking about the fires. You know, now you have landlords gouging people. You have hotels that have raised their rates. You know, everybody's making a quick buck on this thing.
Well, I'm just saying it's a five-year build-out for them to be able to have enough housing there.
Exactly.
So all the raw materials that could be here are going there at a, I'm sure.
The good news is lumber and log prices are going to be up.
Yeah, if we had mills, it'd be a heck of a deal. But not, you know, having the two or three mills in the county and that's it. It'll be really interesting to see if there is any kind of a positive economic movement on this because you still got to get the trees out of the woods, and that's always been the issue for us. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of positives, but, yeah, there's so many challenges that are out there. I'm just kind of curious what the general perception is. Yeah. And then the amount of government-owned land anyway precludes access.
So you're correct. Housing is a big challenge for us. And I know I've talked to Rob Hoblin at the city. He's probably talked to you about his vision for rezoning Eureka to allow for, you know, secondary units.
Yeah,
so
the mother-in-law.
Forth. Exactly.
Yeah.
Try and increase density here because there just isn't any place to really build out new subdivisions. So
I heard Fleckerford was available. Or what was the one that was beyond that? The 3,000... Yeah, they were concerned about 3,000 people.
Oh, out in Cutton?
Yeah, boy. It's only been a couple of years. What was the name of that?
I don't recall.
All right, we'll take a break. Anybody knows, give us a call. It's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. Forrester Gill.
Was the name of the subdivision.
Yeah, Dan saved me on that one.
There you go.
But the concept, if you have anything of any significant development, then you get all the protesters and the naysayers.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets back into that kind of ugly cycle that we're in. If it's five people, it's okay. If it's 50 people, we don't want it. You know, really? Okay. Instead of being 10 times more valuable. Is that just a mental perspective? Is that something that we're going to have to play with a little bit here? Or do you think it's more embedded than that?
You mean the protests or the
just the attitudes that we have that aren't necessarily as embracing as what they could be.
Well, it comes back to my original point of, you know, do we want, you know, what do we have to do to get jobs? And the answer is, to some degree, we don't want them. You know, that we're... we do have a wonderful, you know, quality of life in Humboldt County, other than, you know, a few of your standard nuisances. But, you know, you know, the whole Richardson's Grove trying to stop that in order to keep us from getting urban blight. Well, I don't think we could get urban blight if we tried.
Well, it started out as big box.
Yeah.
We seem to have figured out a way to get big box in the neighborhood already. So, yeah.
And speaking of blight, have you heard anything on what's going to happen with Walmart, the Walmart facility?
Oh, the one.
I mean, excuse me, the Kmart facility.
I've heard a couple of whispers, but nothing's been corroborated yet. So it's like, well, nah. But there's interest. That would be the simplest way to say it. There is some limited interest in it. Yeah, so
I would think so.
It's too small for a couple of the early ones that were looking at it. Okay. Well, that's remedied. That can be remedied also.
Yeah.
You know, they got those two front lots there that were never built out. But it is kind of sad coming into town.
So, trivia question.
All right.
If you come off the Golden Gate Bridge going north and turn right at the first light, where would you be?
The first light. Okay.
The answer is...
Wait, no, don't give it up here. I got 10 seconds. bypass. I would guess you would be South Eureka.
Kmart.
Well, okay.
The old Kmart.
Yeah.
First light.
Thanks for the insight. Happy travels, man. See everybody tomorrow.